How do I ever get up these sermons week after week? I don't. I cheat. No, no. I never looked on a sermon from another source. But what I do is I have my devotions. I read my devotions every week. 9 chances out of 10, the sermon is on some verses that were meaningful to me this week. And this is one of those cases. If you want to turn to Luke chapter 8, there's 4 verses there. That's going to be the theme for the whole sermon. Chapter 8 of Luke, verses 22 through 25. In just a minute, we'll read them together. I'm going to put them up there. It talks about Jesus stilling the sea, stilling the storm in our lives. And let's read these together. Now, on one of those days, Jesus and his disciples got into a boat. Now, I heard 2 other people. Are you ready? We can do this, gang. 4 verses from the top. Now, on one of those days, Jesus and his disciples got into a boat. And he, Jesus, said to them, "Let us go to the other side of the lake." So they launched out. But as they were sailing along, he, Jesus, fell asleep. And a fierce gale of wind descended on the lake, and they began to be swamped and to be in danger. They came to Jesus and woke him up. I bet he was really happy about that. But anyway, they came to Jesus and woke him up, saying, "Master, Master, we're perishing." And he got up and rebuked the wind and the surging waves, and they stopped, and it became calm. Last verse. And he said to them, "Where is your faith?" They were fearful and amazed, saying to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" Now, there's so much in those 4 verses, and that's what we're going to talk about today, especially if I find my notes. There they are. Sounds like it was just a typical day in Jesus' life. Just any run-of-the-mill day, and you never know when you're on Jesus whether miracles happen or not, probably more so than not. And the typical day, they got up, and there was going to be a storm coming. Now, isn't it sad that storms can come into our lives and Jesus has no idea what's going on? Who said, "Eh"? Right on, Jeff. Say it nice and loud. "Eh." Okay? He always knows what's going on. We don't always know what's going on, but he always knows what's going on. Jesus knew that he had a storm prepared for these guys, his disciples. Now, when I was reading this week, I don't know all the ins and outs of everybody's life that comes here, but I know quite a few of them. And I know some of you are experiencing some storms in your life right now. And one of those storms is prepared for some of us. Jesus knows the storms going on in our lives. The storms have a way of bringing us to where we need to be. He knows the storm, whether it's a physical storm, whether it's an emotional storm, whether it's a financial storm, whether it's a relational storm. God knows the storm that's going on in your life, in my life. And so that should be comforting to know that he knows, that he's aware of that. Also, All he'd have to do is snap his fingers. I never learned. I can whistle, but I can't snap my fingers. But if I could, all Jesus would have to do is snap his fingers and the storm would be gone. So why doesn't he do that? Have you ever asked God that? The rest of you are lying if you don't think I realize it. Yeah, I've asked him that. We all ask him that. Why, God? And not only these storms, but this storm said it was a fierce gale. That's a pretty heavy storm going on, huh? Any of these storms going on in your life seem like a fierce gale at times? We all do have those things going on in our life. But Jesus was able to, even in the midst of all that, find rest, find peace, and even sleep in the midst of a storm. God, what can we do to get to that place? How can we respond that way? There are times when the storm feels like, causes us to feel like, this could be it. We're perishing. I've had storms like that. And Jesus could snap his fingers and cause it to stop if he thought that was best. Now, the important thing is that in these storms that we're having, that we all have, Jesus has a lesson for me and my storms and for you and your storms. And we need to learn how to react the best way. Does that make sense? Is that possible? There's a couple verses in James chapter 1. Now, something I felt God share with me probably about 10 plus years ago now that has revolutionized my life, especially when it comes to a storm. And it's this. You just get alone with God. And you ask him a simple, simple question. God, what are you doing here? Or God, what's your intention with this storm and me? Okay, simple question. Can anybody do that? Yes, anybody can do it. And we usually don't take the time to do it, but we can do it. And these couple of verses came to mind to add in there. And you thought you were going to get away with just four verses. James chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 2 through 8. And they read like this. Consider it all joy, my brethren and sistren, that's my addition, when you encounter various trials or storms. Now, is anybody there yet on a regular basis? I got a couple of people being honest. No. Maybe that's where we want to be, but a lot of times I don't find myself there. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you're encountering these various trials or storms, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Well, that sounds like a good place to be, but look what we have to pay to get there. We have to learn to trust, don't we? We have to learn to find out what's going on. And verse 5 is the key verse here. But if any of you lacks wisdom, is there anyone here that lacks wisdom at least once a year? At least once a month? At least once a day. I lack it pretty much most of my time anymore. It seems like the further I get, the more I lack wisdom. But this is what it says to do. If any of you lacks wisdom, and we're some of those anys, right? Let him ask of God, who gives to, how do you pronounce this word? A-L-L. All. Are you part of the all? I'm part of the all, so this is for us. Listen up, everybody. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought to not expect anything to receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. So you see, it's not a secret. It's not a hard thing to do. You're going through your storm, and maybe you're afraid, maybe you're wondering what's going to happen. Is things going to turn out all right? You just take some time and ask God, what are you trying to do here? What are you trying to show me? My big one is, God, what's your intention here? What are you trying to do? And he says, if we ask, he's going to give us that intention. Doesn't that make it easy? Doesn't it make it fun? Sometimes. But it's not a complicated thing to figure out, God, what are you trying to do? There'll be times in your life and my life where God has to at least whisper in our ear, just like Jesus did. He didn't probably whisper it, especially they woke him up from a deep sleep. Where is that word he used? Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Yes, where's your faith? I put a couple names down. I could put everybody probably here down. Renetta, where's your faith? Marcy, where's your faith? Sam, where's your faith? Mom, where's your faith? Joy, where's your faith? I remember meeting with you and Jeff about a storm, and it looked like things were not going to turn out very nice. And look how it worked out. Where's your faith? Where's your faith? This past month, I had been given an assignment. I keep taking them off because I come back on, I can't see. Where's your faith? I had my only great aunt that's still alive. Her name is Dolores. She lives down in Bloomsburg. She's in her mid to upper 80s. And she's still in pretty good shape. And she called, Jess, could you help me with something? Well, Dolores, if I could, I will. What do you want me to help you with? I'm doing some genealogy studies on our family, and especially the Bennetts. And my grandmother was a Bennett, and she was married to a Bennett, one of her brothers. And could you get me information on all your kids and their grandkids? You only have a few, right? She was joking. Yeah, I only have 23 so far, but I'll see what I can do. I'll get all their ages, all their birth dates and things like that. I'll get it around. And then also, will you get your sister Tam's information about her kids and her grandkids? Yes, I will do that. I will give it my best shot. Little did I know that I would lose that paper that she gave me with all the information on. So I had to go back this week and say, Loris, I'm sorry. I lost that paper. I want to help you. Can we get it all written down again? So we did. And then she said, oh, and did you get Sarah's and your sister Cam's information. No, I've tried 6 times. Nobody answers. Maybe she had her phone changed. And she called this week. Sarah, I thought you died or changed phones or something. No, I just been too busy. Okay. And you see, this is one lesson I'm still learning. When you have an assignment to do something, you can't say, okay, yep, I'll do that. A better way to say is, you know, with God's help, I will give it my best shot. Okay? So Sarah called, and she said, by the way, my mom would like 2 things from you. Okay. I don't know why she didn't call, but anyway, what's the 2 things? And she said she wants her mom's Bible, and she wants that little box of recipes that she's sure that you have. Now, you have to understand, my sister and I have had a rift between our relationship most our whole life. And I hate having that with anyone. And I've prayed over the years several times, God, you can come up with a plan that you can bring healing to that rift. Danny? And now they're asking for my mom's Bible. Now, she didn't know this, but did you know my mom and dad, Jill, in the church? Okay. Jill and I went to the same church, but I didn't know your parents back then either. But anyway, my mom and dad always believed in God, but they never had a real intimate relationship with this living God until I moved back from Alaska and started witnessing to him as far as what God was doing in my life. So they got very interested in that. And one day my dad said to me, your mom and I have been watching you, and we don't know why you're so different than us. But what you have with Jesus, we want it. Can you pray for us? And that was one of the highlights of the last half a century with me. And so prayed with them, and they wanted to be baptized in water down here along the stream, down about a half a mile by some family cabins. And we met down there. This is before Marsh and I even got married. We met down there because we were going to baptize my mom and my dad. We just so happened there was a gully washer of a storm the night before. It was high and muddy. And I was sharing with the people, and I was so stupid. I happened to glance up a minute and seen this big tree floating down the middle of the stream. Look at that tree! Oh, don't forget I even said that. But anyway, so it was time to get in the water and baptize. You couldn't even see where you're putting your feet because it was all high and muddy. You understand, right? And I said, Ed, why don't you come out? Ed Kunda. Probably nobody has ever heard of Ed. He was a good friend. They were part of our church in the very beginning. And I said, Ed, you come out here. Probably the only person that even comes close is Jeff, you know, a big husky guy. And you come out here and I'll baptize you first. Ed wanted to be baptized, and then you can help with others. And this is the honest truth. I never had this happen. Hopefully never will again. Trying to keep my balance there as I was lowering Ed into that water. I lost him. Honestly, I lost Ed. And I thought, God, you just took him right to heaven. I don't know. He come up about 10, 12 feet down the stream, spitting water out like a fish, and his biggest smile on his face. And he just couldn't believe that this happened to me, but he was very excited. And I said, Ed, you're going to stand about 7 feet down from me and catch any of the others before they go down too far. My mom and dad still went through the water baptism. Talk about faith, right? But they did. And so when my mom, a couple days after she was baptized, she said, "Jess, I want to give you my Bible. I had ever since I was a kid." That was quite a gift, right? I had that Bible. And Sarah said, "There's two things my mom wants. She wants your mom's Bible, her mom's Bible, and she wants this little box of special recipes that your mom wrote in her favorite recipes." And she says, "You have it." "Sarah, I don't have it. I don't even know anything about it. Let me talk to Morris." We didn't know anything about it. And after some wondering, what do? I called my mom or my dad's second wife after my mom passed away about 7 years in between. And I said, "Ellie Mae, do you have a little box that has all my mom's special recipes in?" She said, "I did at one time, but I think I threw it away. But let me check." And she called back in about a half hour. "I found this little metal green box. It's full of your mom's recipes. It had to be at least 50 or 60 of them jammed in there. You could hardly get the blood down." But I said, "Could I see it and take some pictures?" "No, you could have it." So she gave me that box of recipes. So here were these two things that were special to me in some ways, especially the Bible. But now my sister wanted those two things. And again, remember that rift that's been there most of our lives. And I prayed about it and said, I called Sarah back. I said, I'm going to give your mom her mom's Bible. I think she needs it more than me." You see, that was something that was special to me, but I was giving it up because it could help someone else more so than I could be helped. And furthermore, all those recipes, I might copy a few of them down, but I'm going to give you that little box with all those recipes in too. And I could hear Sarah and on the phone. She was fighting back tears. She said, "This is going to mean so much to my mom." And I didn't tell her, but I was thinking, maybe this will be the thing that God uses to break that rift between us. You see what I'm saying? Maybe it's wishful thinking, but I'm always a glutton for being so positive. I'd rather be hurt than not be. So this week I'm going to send those two things out. Sarah, to surprise her mom with those things. You know, there's a big difference between just knowing about God and knowing God personally. Some of you probably have experienced it. Maybe some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. There's one of my favorite verses that bring that to light. Psalm 103, I think it's verse 7. I'll know when I turn there. Yes. Psalm 103, verse 7, and it reads like this. He, talking about God, he made known his ways to Moses. Wouldn't you like to know God's ways and the things going on in your life? But then it says, his acts to the sons of Israel. So if you know the Bible stories about David and Goliath and Daniel and the lions and stuff, you know God's ways. But that doesn't mean you know God. But God wants to reveal to us this personal relationship that he wants to have with us. There's a big difference. I think it's kind of interesting to me. Back to Luke chapter 8. Luke comes after Mark. Does anybody know that? Ever knew that before? I know it now. Luke chapter 8. Back to those four verses. Jesus had to get stern with them and ask them, where is your faith? But then in the last verse, 25, Jesus asked them that, and it says this, they were fearful and amazed. And when I read it this week, I was thinking, how do those two things get together? You can be fearful and amazed. They obviously were fearful and that this isn't just any being that we're playing games with. This is God. So we need to show some honor and respect here, but at the same time, be amazed at what he can do. That's what came to me with my sister Tam. God, you worked this whole deal out only because I just said, sure, I'll give it a try. And I didn't even know how I was going to do it. But this could result in making some healed relationships between me and my sister that I don't even know for sure why she got so mad. I don't know, and it doesn't matter. If you believe what I've been talking about this morning, preaching to you about this morning, then I hope that you'll start viewing the storms in your life. And if you don't have any right now, hold your pants on, okay? You'll get some. You'll get your fair share, Jess. But if you believe what I'm saying is true, then we have to believe that the storms that come into our life, and some of us have some major, major storms right now going on, that we have to believe that God knows that, number one. Number two, that he has a plan in that to bring us to where we need to be. And I want to experience the rest and the peace that Jesus had in the midst of his storm. Even to be able to sleep in the midst of a storm. And I want us to be able to fit in that same boat. Get it, the boat, the storm. I didn't even think of that until now. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? But anyway, God wants to help us with our storms. And the storms are for our good, to bring us to where we need to be. And he doesn't want to leave us in the lurch, the dark. He wants to say, this is what's going on. Just if you just take the time to get alone with me and quiet yourself and ask, God, what's your intention with the storm? Not complicated, is it? And if we think it's going to get good now, because he'll tell us the storm's intention, and then maybe he'll take it away, or maybe it'll take us home either way. It could be what God uses to bring us home. And there's nothing wrong with going home. I asked Mars to come up and share just a few minutes. And this is what I'll do. Hold this right by your lips. Because about 18 years ago, Marcy was diagnosed with a stage 4 cancer. How many of you know there is no stage 5? Stage 4, dead. Okay? No stage 5. Stage 4 cancer, and it was a non-curable cancer. I was a basket case for about 2 weeks until I said, okay, God, I'll trust you with this thing. But one time I asked Marcy, what did you think about it when you were there? Is that something you were glad that God took you through that storm, or you would have loved to avoid that at all costs? And I wanted to hear from Marcy's words as far as how she handled that.
I like the mic better. I don't know how I handled it. I think that for me, the question is, would you do it again? Would you face it again? Yeah. You know why? Because God has proven himself so faithful over and over and over again in my life. And that was just one time, but it was a big time. And it wasn't just because cancer affected me. I have non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. I still have non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. It's in remission. But because it affected my family, that was probably the harder part. Watching my kids, my grandkids were too young, but my kids, and watching them walk through it with me, because you don't do that alone. It's a family thing. And so it was a very difficult season in my life, but I would never go back. And it's simply because what God led me to and how he taught me to trust him in the midst of it was worth everything. I was praying this morning, Lord, how do I even express that? Because unless you've walked through something like that, it's hard to understand. But honestly, all of us have storms, and all of us have had really hard storms. So I know you know. And all of us will have more storms, because that's kind of the nature of life. That's how God teaches us. It's also the nature of the world that we live in. And someday the storms will be over, and we can enjoy heaven. But the story that God brought to my mind this morning, I'm sorry for the backbeat, was the story of Jesus walking through the community, and he saw a blind beggar. And he reached out to that man and he said, listen, I'm going to give you sight. I'm going to take this dirt and I'm going to spit in it. That sounds really appealing, right? And I'm going to put it on your eyes, and then you're going to go wash it off and you'll be able to see. And this guy had to walk in faith and go do that. And the Pharisees, who were just so 100% behind Jesus, were just looking for some way to discredit what God was doing. And the enemy is still doing that. He's still working to discredit what God is doing in our lives. And so these Pharisees, they went to him, then they went to his parents, and then they went to him again. And I love the answer today when I was reading it this morning. I loved his answer, because he just looked at these Pharisees and he said, listen, I don't know if Jesus is a sinner or not, but this I know. I was blind. Now I see. And that's all of our story. We are beginning to know Jesus. And he gives us revelations of who he is, his kindness, his grace, his love, his faithfulness all the time. But it's a growing thing. We don't have like, oh, there's who he is. It's a part of our growing up. And I'm thankful for that, because I don't think I'd be able to handle it all at once anyways. But he looked at Jesus and said, I don't know all who he is, but this I do know. I couldn't see, and now I can. And this I do know. I was in stage 4 cancer, and now I'm not. It's in remission. It's been quiet for years. This I know, that I was lonely and empty and didn't know anybody, and God brought me to a family. We all have a this I know. And that's the thing we can hang on to, because this is what we know about Jesus, and he is a faithful and loving God.
No, in closing. Talks about being fearful and amazed about God's goodness. That last verse. And we think we're amazed with God's goodness now, right? when you say, yep, I'm amazed with God's goodness, I'm here to tell you, you haven't seen anything yet until you die and go to heaven. And I don't think people understand that verse that says, in heaven there'll be no tears. Because I'm going to be a basket case when I get there. Being by Jesus, he must have had some other different revelation than I got so far. But that's what God wants to do in our lives. Amaze us with his goodness, even through the storms. God, I pray that for every one of us. I know a lot of us are going through some major storms. Some of us are wondering whether that fear scale is going to be the end of us. Well, if it is, then you get to beat me to heaven, or I get to beat you to heaven. And that's when the amazing stuff really starts to pile up. So God, help us to trust you in the midst of our storms. Help us to come to you and ask you, what's your intention? What do you want to do in my life? And he'll tell you. It's not a secret. He'll tell you. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.